The Flash. We're not going to be talking a ton about the movie today, but suffice it to say, it's not doing well in the box office. So we are going to pick up some themes from the film, though. But before we get to that, hello. Thank you for being here. Hello again to everybody online. And another reminder, if you haven't done it already, please fill out your Connect card. It helps us get connected. Also, in our app, we have sermon notes, or if you didn't grab one of these, sermon notes. Good day to take notes. We're going to be talking about humility and how that's important. And if you ask anyone, are you humble? Of course I am. Of course I am. We're going to talk about how to take a next step in humility today. You heard about the Less Young Adults event. It's near and dear to my heart. I think that's one of the hardest stages of life, is that kind of post-college adulthood thing. So we're just praying for that. We have a huge heart for that. I also have a huge heart for this event coming up in August called Missio. It's Latin for mission. And it basically is Modesto Covenant Church, Radiant, Covenant Grove coming together to do a missions conference. So Friday night, Saturday night, eating dinner together. Three churches. You may not know this. We're basically one of the only churches in the area that's intentionally planted churches. We also have a heart for global missions. So none of the pastors are doing the speaking. We're getting outside speakers to come in, sharing, having that stuff. We're really excited for that. So mark your calendars, because we find that you go, I didn't know it was coming. I didn't know that was coming up. Well, how'd that happen? So actually do me a favor, like get your phone out and actually put it in your calendar and go, this is when that's happening, 18th and 19th of August. I think it's going to be really fun and really cool and really powerful. And this is year one. So it's going to be fun to do this together with the three churches. So excited about that. It's been a great month of God at the Movies. We're wrapping up. Next month, we're going to start a new series called The Miracles of Jesus. We're excited about that in July. At God at the Movies, we've had a lot of new people come. We've had 15 first-time visitors come to our church. We have a heart for that, to reach people and to say, hey, here's how God's word intersects. We've also had 7 new people join a team this month. So God's moving. And you may not know this, but kind of the world post-COVID, people are working more, but kind of doing less in other areas of their life. And so we're just really celebrating that people are kind of saying, hey, I can help out. I'm in. Tell me what you need. It's very cool. It's kind of a sign of health. We're talking today about humility. In 1895, a man named Andrew Murray wrote a book called Humility. It's less than 100 pages. I encourage you to pick it up. It's very powerful. He says this: let each person begin to ask what would be the effect if towards fellow saints and the world, believers were really permanently guided by the humility of Jesus. What would be the effect if believers were permanently guided by the humility of Jesus? He asks us to consider that. I want you to consider that for a second. What would be the effect in the world and in the church if believers were permanently guided by the humility of Jesus? Today, we're going to talk about what humility is. We're going to look at Philippians 2. Today, we're going to talk about why do we kind of go 50-50 on humility. We want a little humility, but not too much. We want kind of the light version of humility. Why do we do that? And then we're going to talk about the objections to humility and why humility actually works, but it doesn't work when you do it kind of halfway. And I'm going to ask you today to take a step in humility, if I've convinced you by the end that humility is actually the way to go. And we're going to talk about what are some practical ways you could take a step of humility today. Because again, like I said, if someone's humble, like, of course I'm humble. But the problem is when you say that, you don't feel like you need to grow in humility, because you think you're already there, which is a very unhumble thing to say. Okay? So we're going to dive into that today. And let's start with some prayer. And I'm going to give you a few seconds just to reflect, have some silence with the Lord. You're coming in from a lot of stuff going on in your life. And let's just lay that before Jesus at the cross. And of your fears or your worries or your concerns, and just soak up his love and focus on Jesus right now. Lord, you are the answer for our anxiety and our insecurity, our frustrations. Not just something you're going to do, just you. Just focusing on you and soaking in your presence. So help us to do that today. God, thank you for the amazing things you're doing in the lives of every person in this room. You love every person in this room, everyone watching online. And God, we're just your people. Help us to be guided by humility. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, again, if you got a Bible, turn to Philippians chapter 2. Let me give you the plot of the movie. Barry Allen is the Flash. He's part of the Justice League, Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman. He can travel at super speed. His father has been wrongfully accused and in prison for the murder of his wife, Barry's mother. And Barry's trying to prove his father's innocence. He realizes that he can travel so fast that he can actually go back in time and change the future. But of course, that changes everything. It doesn't just change the future, it changes the past as well. And he meets a younger version of himself, loses his powers, and winds up in this reality where there's no Superman, there's no Cyborg, there's no Aquaman, other heroes in this Justice League. But there's a different Batman, and there's a Supergirl, and they team up to try to stop the bad guys from space. That's General Zod, but they can't, and no matter how many times Barry goes back to change the past, he can't change it. He eventually learns to accept his past and his loss, including his mother's death, as part of his life and as part of who he is. Okay? Some themes in the movie. Trying to change the past versus accepting the past, including your own mistakes in the past. Good theme, right? Batman has a great line, don't live your past, live your life. It's a good line. Second kind of theme that I picked up in here was pain is part of your story and it makes you who you are. Batman says, these scars make me who I am. And just kind of that theme hits again and again and again that you need to understand how you got to who you were. Number three is meeting a less mature version of yourself. The Flash ends up meeting himself in the past, and he says, now I know what everyone's talking about. I'm really annoying. And he's dealing with that and processing that. And it's kind of I thought, man, that's an interesting way of going, what if you met yourself 10 years ago, and you would be so condescending on yourself, and then you forget, well, you're going to be a different version in 10 years from now, too. So to be humble about where you're at now and not go like, well, I'm so great. I have everything figured out. You remember like when you got into high school and you thought all junior hires are so immature? Remember that? And then you got to college and you're like, man, those high schoolers are mature. That's kind of the same thing you do, but then you're in your 30s or in your 40s or in your 50s. Instead of just going, be humble where you're at and say, hey, maybe even when I'm my 80s and 90s, you know, I'm going to be looking back from eternity going, man, I was pretty immature in my 80s, right? And you can kind of process that in a different way. The fourth thing is you can't fix everything. And this one really hit home for me. Because the weird thing is, the more power you have, the more ability you have to fix things. But you can't fix everything. He has this superpower that can change time, but it didn't actually make anything better. In fact, sometimes it made things worse. And it's hard to realize that even if you're incredibly gifted, you can't fix everything. There's a humility that comes with that. And kind of in all of these themes, even though the movie didn't harp on humility, didn't even say the word humility, I thought as a Christian and as a pastor, I wanted to go with that theme. And I want us to turn to Philippians 2 and talk about less about the movie and more about how does humility work and how would this interact together. And I thought the problem is many of us don't even understand what humility is. We think it's putting yourself down all the time, thinking you're terrible, letting other people walk on you. That's not what humility is. It's not what the Bible says humility is. I want us to start by unpacking what this is, and let's look at Scripture together. Philippians chapter 2, it's on page 984, and we're going to look at verses 5 through 11 to begin with. It says this, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, in very nature God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges and took the humble position of a slave. He was born as a human being. And when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Jesus was humble. Jesus defines humility. Jesus is God. He's in the very nature God, so it says at the very beginning, but yet he became a human. He lowered himself. Humility, kind of in its definition, has to do with understanding that things are on different levels. Even in our society, even though our society says we're all equal, there's still bosses, there's still parents, there's still people in authority. We still get that. Humility is about saying, I'm not going to lord it over people from that position. I'm going to actually serve them. I'm actually going to be willing to come down and serve them. And right there from the beginning, we struggle with that humility. We go, I've earned that position. I'm not lowering myself. For Jesus even to become a human, there's nothing wrong with being a human, but for Jesus even to be a human was lowering himself because he's God. You understand that the whole trajectory of our world is trying to up yourself, up those levels? God lowered himself. That's what humility is. And I want you to get that definition in your head. It's not forgetting who you are. It's knowing who you are, but being willing to go below who you are to follow the example of Jesus. Okay? And then not only did he become a human, which was humiliating, not because being human's bad, but because it was lower than who he is. Then he becomes seen as a servant, a slave. That's even low amongst humans. And then lower than human, what does it say that he did? He died. God experienced death. And what kind of death? Death on the cross. Right? And I don't know if you know, death on the cross was meant to humiliate you. You would typically, it's done publicly, often naked. And you're hung for everyone to see. It's humiliating. This was all about humility, that at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow and every tongue confess. Right? This is humility. It's powerful. The Bible says in James chapter 4, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Humility is the way of God. Let's be honest. It is not our way. We don't want to be humble. We don't aspire to be humble. We don't say to our kids, I hope someday you grow up and this is your position and you lower yourself. Let's just be flat out honest about that. But let's be honest that this is our story, and this is our God, and this is Jesus, and this is different than any other religion, and this is different than any other story in the world. Let's just be flat out honest about that. This is different, and it's going to be hard, and it's different, and it doesn't mean putting yourself down all the time. It means knowing who you are in Jesus, but being willing to serve, being willing to be misunderstood, being willing to be rejected. For the name of Jesus is the name above all names. That's from Isaiah. It said in Isaiah that the name of the Lord, every knee will bow, every tongue confess. And then Paul in chapter 2 of Philippians says, no, at the name of Jesus, because Jesus is the Lord. Let's remember that story. We are Christians. This is who we are. Humility isn't not knowing who you are. Humility is not letting people walk all over you. Humility is not putting yourself down all the time. Humility is being willing to lower yourself, to lower your position, to lower your level out of obedience to Jesus. It's not that you're looking at others, it's that you're looking at him. That's humility. We're defining it. Now, the humble way of Jesus is the way of true life. Jesus was humble, and this is the way of life. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about how cultures interact with humility. The Jewish world in the Bible believed in humility. Humility is all over the Old Testament. And here's the reason why. Scholar H.H. Esser says this, that in the Greek world, they had an anthropocentric view, humans were in the middle. If you don't know post-enlightenment, that's the same view of humans that we have today. Humans are the center. The most important thing are humans. The most important thing we can fight for are human rights, right? Not what's right and wrong, but human rights, what we are allowed to do. That's the key thing. But in the Greek, in the Jewish world, in the Hebrew world, the center of the universe is God. And you viewed yourself in light of God. So in the Old Testament and the New Testament, it's consistent that you need to be humble because you view yourself in view of God. It changes everything. Unfortunately, in the first century Jewish world, the world that Jesus lived in, they motivated people through shame. Shame and humility don't go together, friends. And what was odd for that time is, for them, was that Jesus seemed to be impervious to their shame. We're going to reject you. That's okay. You're going to go on a cross. It's going to be hard, but he accepted it. Your family is going to be shamed. That'll be okay. His family, he was so embarrassed by him, they tried to get him to shut up at one point. They tried to get him to stop preaching. And he was like, no. Well, you're not supposed to do that if you're a good Jewish young man. You're supposed to do whatever your parents tell you to. And he was like, no, I'm doing my father's will. He seemed impervious to the shame structure of his society. And what really messed up this world is Jesus passed on that, don't worry about the shame of others. He passed that on to his disciples. They seemed to be willing to die publicly and see it as a good thing. They seemed to be willing to say, it's okay if I'm rejected. It's okay if I'm ostracized. It's okay if I'm kicked out of the camp. They seemed to be no problem with that because their focus was more on God than the social standing of their world. And if you think our world struggles with social standing, their world times 100. It was all about where you fit in the strata of society. It was very, very important then. It's important now, but it was very important then. Jesus had a way of kind of going beyond that. And then the Roman world. The Roman world actually considered humility a problem. They would write on it. To be humble is a wrong thing to do. If you are in this standard of society, if you're a lord, you stay there. You do not lower yourself and do servant work. You will never do that. That's wrong. That's the wrong thing to do. You stay where you're at. If you're a free person, you stay as a free person. You don't act like a slave. If you're a slave, don't try to be something else. Stay where you're at. If you have the opportunity, yeah, maybe try to raise yourself up. But you would never lower yourself intentionally. Why would you do that? You're not supposed to do that. You don't. That's the Roman world. They actually saw humility as a bad. Now, you got to imagine the Roman world that sees humility as a bad thing. And here come the Christians who go and they are free people with wealth associating with slaves and worshiping Jesus together in the same house. This is messing up the Roman world. They did not know what to do with this. The whole point of killing people and crucifying them publicly was to shame them, and Christians called it their glory. To suffer for the name of Jesus was their honor. Honor, not their shame. This was really messing with the Roman world. Now, friends, here's where this is all coming together. I know this is a great little history lesson. Some of you hate history. Thank you for putting up with it. Here's how this is all coming together. You and I, our culture, is a mix of the Christian story and the Roman story. You may not know that. America loves Roman ideals. That's why we have the eagle and all the other sorts of Roman ideology. But we also have this Christian story. And so we have this humble story and this social station, fight your way to the top, force people to do what you want them to do story, and they collide together. And every day, you do a little bit of both. Every day, you do a little bit of both. We believe in humility because we know humility works. We believe that the business serves the customer. That's a humility virtue, right? We believe that a good boss serves their employees. We believe that if you love your family, you sacrifice for them. You'd be willing to lay down your life for them. We believe all these amazing humility, yes, 100%. But we also believe you cross me once, you're dead to me. I'll give you a chance, but after that, it's over. Just like Jesus. You know, that's the Roman way, friends. The Roman way was, work the Pax Romana. Was it the Pax Romana or was it the Force Romana? The peace of Rome was, if you cross us, we'll wipe out your town and rename it after one of our emperors. And some of us are just that way when someone crosses us. That's not humility, is it? That's what Jesus did when he went to the cross, right? You kill me once, and I'm coming to destroy you. See, we have a little bit of both, don't we? We have a little bit of humility and a little bit of Rome. A little bit of Jesus and a little bit of force. We try to do both, and it messes us up. And I want to ask you today, can you go all in on the way of Jesus? And it's going to mean suffering. It's going to mean hardship. But here's the thing. The way of humility actually works. People want to be around humble people. They want to go to humble businesses. They want to move towards humble churches. They want to do things for people who are truly in it for the sake of the other person. But not because of the other person. They want to do it because the person's actually looking at Jesus. And they don't do everything that I want or you want. They do whatever God wants. We respect people like that. But we go, no, I'll be humble when it makes me look good. You know, because, you know, I'm supposed to be a little humble in this culture, right? I'm supposed to be a little humble. And then I go, you know, yeah, you know, oh my gosh, you did so great. No, I didn't. Keep going. I want to say no more. We want to be humble when it makes us look good. That's like humble as a way of moving up the ladder. That's the opposite of what humility is. Right? We want to be humble until someone's hurt our feelings enough, and then we want to crush them. We want to go the Roman way. Right? We want to go humble as long as everyone agrees with our humble way. And as soon as they disagree, it's scorched earth, friends. It's blow them out of the water. You see this a lot in our political debates, right? I'm going to be humble. I'm a public servant who's here to get my way. And how we argue at it in our coffee shops of, you should just tell people they can't get it. As opposed to, no, we're going to talk it out. And we're going to be issues of persuasion. Humility. And I know that the reason for most of us why we don't do humility is honestly, and I want you to hear this as a Christian, because this is true. Most of us don't believe humility works. We think it works a little. We think it works sometimes. But we don't think it really works. So we only use it when we think it will work. And that's where the way of Jesus, where the rubber hits the road, will you use it even when it doesn't work, when it's going to cost you? That's the story of Jesus, right? At what point would you have said, it's not working, Jesus, let's bail? Because that's what the disciples did. Jesus, this isn't working. They're going to kill you. And he goes, yep. Yep. And they're going to kill you too. And that's God's plan to transform the Roman culture. Will you be part of that plan? And they did. And the Roman culture was partially transformed. That's what God's trying to do in our culture. Not the sword, but the cross. Humility. And it changes everything. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about how. Okay? The church theologians said that humility is the soil in which all other Christian virtues grow. Here's our theme verse of our church, John 15:5. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. But the soil that the good stuff, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control, the soil that those grow in is humility. Because if you're not humble, you won't let Jesus do the work. You will do all the work, and you'll be the best Christian ever. And what's wrong with all those other people who don't do what I do? That's called a legalist. That's those rude, arrogant, condescending Christians that people just run away from. The person who says, I'm the chief of sinners. I'm messed up. God's the one who's doing this in me, not me. I'm just cooperating with his work. That's the people who are the light of the world. There's a joke about a pastor and an associate pastor sitting and preparing for the service, and they're sitting there on stage looking up going, I'm worthless, I'm worthless, I'm not worthy, God help me. And the associate saying, I'm worthless, I'm not worthy. And the janitor walked in, and the janitor came and joined them on stage and said, I'm worthless, I'm not worthy. And the pastor and associate pastor looked at each other and said, look who thinks they're not worthy. Kind of being condescending on them. You got to say no. Everyone's invited to be humble together. Here's the first thing. Number one is focus on imitating Christ. Focus on imitating Christ. Here's what C.S. Lewis said. Don't imagine that if you meet a really humble person, he will be what most people call humble nowadays. He will not be that greasy, swarmy person who's always telling you that he's nobody. Probably all you'll think about is that he seemed a cheerful, intelligent chap who took a real interest in what you said. If you do dislike him, it will be because you feel a little envious of anyone who seems to enjoy life so easily. He will not be thinking about humility. He will not be thinking about humility. He will not be thinking about himself at all. If anyone would like to acquire humility, I can, I think, tell him the first step. The first step is to realize that one is proud. And a biggish step, too. At least nothing whatever can be done before it. If you think you are not conceited, it means you are very conceited indeed. If you think you are not conceited, it means you are very conceited indeed. I didn't say it, C.S. Lewis said, but my point is, that might be one of the hardest lines in the sermon. If you go, do you think you're conceited? No one in this room would say yes. And he's saying, that is your first sign of being conceited. It's your first sign of arrogance. It should not say, yeah, it's in me. Yeah, it's a struggle. Yeah, I need God's help for it to go away. If you want humility, don't focus on yourself, focus on Jesus. When you're going through problems, focus on Jesus. When someone's frustrating you, focus on Jesus. When you want to know what to do at work, focus on Jesus. When you're struggling with yourself and how you feel about yourself, focus on Jesus. Humility is the way of life. And I hope I've convinced you by this point that there is a real struggle. And I hope that I've convinced you by this point that you're saying, I want to go the way of humility. I am a Christian. I'm a follower of Jesus, if you are a follower of Jesus in here. To actually go that way, not sort of, to actually live that way. And if we go back into Philippians chapter 2, we can actually see some steps of how to go the way of humility. So go back into scripture with me. I found 8 things. You might find more. We're going to read these verses. Paul's going to give a lot of ways to be humble. And my hope is you'll find one that's a very practical, today I can do it type of thing where you can be humble. This is not the list to send to somebody else and go, I found ways for you to work on humility. This is for you. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. Down to verse 12. Dear friends, you've always followed my instructions when I was with you. And now that I'm away, it's even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. God's the one working in you, same as John 15:5. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights or like stars in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Hold firmly to the word of life. Then, on the day of Christ's return, I will be proud that I did not run the race in vain and that my work was not useless. But I will rejoice even if I lose my life, pouring it out like a liquid offering to God, just like your faithful service is an offering to God. And I want all of you to share that joy. Yes, you should rejoice, and I will share your joy. Joy is the pathway that humility leads to. It's powerful. Here are the 8 things I came up with. You might have other things you could add to this list. And my hope is if you've said, yeah, I need to grow in humility today. And if you haven't, you might want to go back to that C.S. Lewis quote. Number one is work in unity with God's people. If you want to be humble, work with God's people. Why did Paul write that they needed to work in unity? Because people don't work together in unity. Even Christians, we struggle with it. We have to say, my focus is on Jesus. I can work in unity even when it's hard. I can deal with the problems. Let's work in unity. Number two, don't be selfish. Don't put yourself first. Don't try to impress others. Consider others higher than yourself. Remember that line thing? Well, I'm smarter than they are. I make more than they do. I know more. I have more experience. Consider others on a higher level than yourself. We're all equal in terms of our worth and our love from Jesus. We're all equal in that. He's talking about that social strata, that social leveling. He's saying consider others to be on a higher level than you. How would you treat someone who came in who you knew had a higher level of anything, job, finances, whatever? You would want to treat them with respect. Treat everyone that way, he says. Treat everyone that way, like they were dignitaries. Treat everyone that way. It's powerful. Okay? Take a genuine interest in others. I'm going to say a little something here about this. Maybe you need to grow in how you listen. You may not know this, but most people when you're listening, most of you when you're listening, you're not listening, you're just reloading for the next thing you're going to say. All you're thinking about is the next thing you're going to say. You're not genuinely listening to what the person's saying, going, how are you feeling about this? What's going on in your world? And really going, I want to listen to you. What a gift that is to people. What a gift. Yeah? And you may say, well, no one ever does that with me. You're probably right. You're probably right. But do it with others anyway. And go to God. And maybe God will give you some of those people too. Obey God with reverent fear, it says, right? Live lives that are shine like stars. Many people, many Christians view obedience to Jesus, our Lord, as optional. Obedience is not optional. Jesus is our Lord. If Jesus says to do it, do it. Is it easy for you? It's not about you. Is it hard? Will it cost you? It's not about you. Do what Jesus is telling you to do. For too often we've said, Jesus, I love that your travel size. You fit my back pocket. You can go wherever I go. And Jesus says the same thing. Follow me. Follow me. Not I follow you. Jesus does go with you wherever you are. Praise the Lord. Jesus says, follow me. And I don't know if you know, we try to live both. We try to go, Jesus is my Lord, but he does whatever I tell him to. Obey Jesus. You don't have to obey your pastor. You don't have to do what everyone else tells you to do. Obey Jesus. Right? That includes everything in life. How you serve, how you give, how you connect, your Sundays, your connections, the way you love people at work, how you do all that stuff. Never complain or argue is the next one. I'm sorry. It's in the Bible. I have to say it. Okay? I said last week, you can complain. Complain to God. Don't complain to people. It makes a big difference. Hold firmly to God's word. Which one of these eight things, and maybe you found a different one, which one of these eight things can you work on this week? Yeah, okay. That was rhetorical, but sure, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Which one can you say, yeah, I need to work? And again, it's not don't complain. It's because I'm focused on Jesus, I'm not going to complain. Right? It's because I love the Lord, I'm going to listen to you deeply. Humility works. Humility is the person at work who takes a genuine interest in their coworkers or a boss who genuinely loves those at work. People love going to places of work like that because they can tell these people actually care about me. People love to be in a church, not where there's just some good speaker or not, but where the people in the church genuinely love the people who come in like they are dignitaries, like they're heroes for just showing up. Because most of the world's not showing up. So if you're here, we're just going to love on you like crazy. We're so glad you're here. Almost where people be like, whoa, what? Why? What's going on? Not being weird or rude or creepy, but just like, we love that you're here. Okay? In a family, it makes a big difference when the people in the family say, It's not my chore, not my job, but tell me how I can serve you. I'm here to serve you. It doesn't mean you don't have boundaries. It doesn't mean you say you don't let people walk on you, because it's your choice when to serve and not. Humility isn't other people humiliating you. Humility is when you choose to take that servant role, not when others force you to. That's not humility. It's living that sort of way. It's Jesus taking up the basin and the towel and washing our feet. And he said, and I want you to do the same thing. My hope, as we're at the end here, is that you can go, humility actually works. Because if you're like any normal person in this society, Christian or non-Christian, you like a little bit of humility, but you like a lot of the Roman way. Force your way to the top. Do what's right. If someone steps on you, you squash them so they never do it again. There is a way of having boundaries that's humble. Jesus did it. Okay? Can you actually have kingdom ambition? Grow your business, grow your life, grow your relationships, grow your finances, grow those things. There's a way of doing that with humility. Figure that out and share it. Okay, let's reflect and give you another little bit of time to reflect here. What's the Holy Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, asking you to do? And if you don't know the answer, just focus on Jesus. Focus on imitating Jesus in your family and at work and in your church. Lord, thank you for my brothers and sisters in this room, those online. And God, if there's people in here who said, I don't even know where I'm at with Jesus. I know that a lot of people have been hurt by the people of Jesus, and usually it's because Christians have not been humble. God, we're not going to get it right, but help us to be humble. Help us to be humble even when what we're saying is right. Help us to say it in a humble way. God, when we're on teams, help us to put others first. Lord, we love you. We want to pray all this in your name. Amen. All right, next week, again, we're starting our miracles series, so let's get ready for that. Let's keep walking in humility, and I hope you get a little bit of coffee on the way out, too. So we'll talk more about that in a minute. Let's do this little, let's have another worship song.